really, really grateful, compulsive overeater.
Hi.
I hope to keep this light today. I mean, you know, it would be really nice if we can all smile and laugh. We need that. So I need to say that this is, even my being sitting here right now is kind of a God thing, because so August is my OA birthday month, and I try to speak in August every year, and I'll give you the statistics, but I forgot about it. And then like 2 weeks ago, I called the speaker getter for this meeting, and I said, you know, I forgot, but I really would love to be able to speak in August, and you're probably completely booked for August, but, you know, I just wanted to say that. And she said, yeah, well, we are, but I can give you the next available time in November. And I said, okay, I'll take that. And then she said, but I'll call you if somebody cancels. And that day, somebody canceled. So I thought, okay, God. And, you know, I'm going to try to give you all of the times in my life, and, you know, I've spent more than half of my life in this program, more than half of my life. This is the 39th year of abstinence. I can't believe that number. I honestly cannot believe that number. I got abstinent in this program in 1980. I'm going to try and talk briefly about the first part of my life before OA, really briefly, because otherwise we'd be here for I am an only child. I came from an affluent family. I have on both sides of my family, my mother's side and my father's side, people who have died of morbid obesity. My father was a rageaholic and probably an alcoholic. Life was very emotionally unstable in my house would be putting it pretty mildly. I had an ulcer when I was in second grade. My mother's goal was to keep things looking pretty. And her goal for me was to keep me looking pretty and to fix me. So I had a lot of issues growing up, according to her. And things that kept me from looking pretty. One of them was that I kept gaining weight because food was really the refuge when I was growing up. It was. My whole childhood, it was what I went to, it was what comforted me, it was what worked. There were a lot of things going on that I didn't really understand fully but felt. And I think that's kind of been true a lot of my life, that I feel in some ways like I was an old person when I was really young, but I really didn't have the understanding of what the dynamics were. My father was 20, my mother, there was an age difference of 26 years between my mother and father. And so mostly it was about, you know, looking good. We didn't talk about feelings, we didn't deal with emotions, and as I said, food was the real comfort. So that went on my whole childhood and into adolescence. I really particularly started to gain weight, and it was very noticeable, and you know, my mother tried everything to get me to lose weight. Pills, shots, doctors, every diet that came down the pike, and I then later on tried all those things too. I was also like in my head rebelling against the childhood I had, but I never acted out. I just didn't do very well in school, but I got by, and in my head I rebelled. There's a reason for this story. When my young friends were admiring movie stars, my hero was a comedian whose name was Lenny Bruce, who was the most outrageous and disrespectful and offensive person on, you know, he was arrested, he went to jail, he was a drug addict, and he was my hero. So it kind of tells you how much of a rebel I was in my head, not acting out. So anyway, I went off to college. My grades were average, but my parents insisted I stay in California. And the first year that I was in college, I was like 18, I met the first man I fell in love with, who I ended up marrying, who was the closest person I could find to Lenny Bruce. And so he was another rebel. He was 7 or 8 years older than me, and just got out of the Navy, gone back to school. And is that 5 years?
5 years.
5 years. Way more than 5 years. So I'm glad to hear you laugh. So anyway, I was pregnant when we got married. So I had my first child when I was 19. That child today is 57 years old. And then 3 years later, I had another son. And we stayed married for about 7 or 8 years. During that period, I need to get to OA fast. Okay, so during that period, my compulsive eating was really out of hand. I stopped weighing at 200. So I know that I've lost over 100 pounds, but I don't know how much. But so I've been maintaining at a healthy body weight since 1980. I mean, I lost 50 pounds. Well, let me back up. Okay, so I started seeing a therapist because my marriage was in trouble, and the therapist wanted to see each one of us individually. Everybody's heard this story who's been around. And anyway, she said to me, "You eat like an alcoholic drinks." I had gone to one OA meeting. OA was in its embryonic stages in 19. This was 1969. OA was new. In fact, Roseanne was in one of my early meetings, the woman who started OA. And we used to have alcoholics come and speak at our meetings because we didn't have anybody with long-term abstinence. So, you know, it was a good thing for me because I really got it steeped in the AA program and the AA Big Book. And it was the Bible in those days, and there wasn't a whole lot of OA literature in those days. So it was, you know, it really meant a lot. However, I had a whole problem with the God thing. The first meeting I went to, the reason I didn't go back after a year was because it was in a church, and the guy who was speaking was an alcoholic, and he was talking about God. And I did not want to hear about God. I just wanted to lose weight. So I stayed away for a year, but then when this therapist said, "You eat like an alcoholic drinks," I knew she was right. And I remembered the word I had heard at the first OA meeting, which was compulsive overeater. I definitely identified with that. And as I said, I'd been trying everything else and nothing else had worked. And I felt pretty desperate. So I started OA. And in that first year, I lost about 50 pounds, not doing the God thing, not working the steps. It was step one, and that was it. Step one, I am powerless over food and my life is unmanageable, and I came to meetings. And it was enough support for a year for me to lose weight. What I didn't realize, and I want to talk about this, is what it's like to be at a healthy body weight. You know, the definition of compulsive eating, and in this program, is, you know, that we avoid compulsive eating and compulsive overeating behaviors while working toward a healthy body weight. I cannot tell you how much working toward a healthy body weight transformed my life. Anybody who's been over 200 pounds knows what it's like to live with that. It's really uncomfortable. I bought all my clothes at Lane Bryant, which was a big overweight person's clothes store. I was uncomfortable physically. I had depression, stomach problems, migraines, you know, you name it. But the physical aspect of it was really, really uncomfortable for me. But I didn't have the God thing and I didn't have the rest of the program. So at the end of a year, I did what I knew to do, which was to start eating compulsively again and to lie about it. So that's what I did. In OA, I had learned that you could actually tell the truth. But that didn't stop me because I was so ashamed. There were very few people who had, you know, had lost as much weight as I had in those days in OA. And, you know, people were looking up to me and asking me to speak and wanting me to sponsor, and it felt real uncomfortable. So when people would ask me to speak or be a sponsor, I'd say, no, I can't, my kids are sick, or I can't. You know, for various reasons, I would lie and say. Anyway, one thing led to another. I went on a huge binge where I just couldn't stop eating. And thank you. And that was kind of the beginning of getting this program and starting to work this program. And when I, after that binge, and I had been doing a whole lot of binging, I came back to this program. I went to the woman who'd been my sponsor. I said, I can't stop eating compulsively. And she said, okay, let's start working the rest of the steps. The thing I want to stress is how important it was that I started to look for and find a concept of a higher power that I could believe in. I really had never had that. I'd been raised in a religion until I was, you know, I was confirmed in Sunday school, but I never had a concept of God that would be there for me, that I could rely on, that I could trust, that I related to. And so that began a search for that. And gratefully, as a result of the fact that in those days there were a lot of people doing spiritual searches, it was the 70s, remember, so there was a lot going on around that, I was able to really find a higher power that I could believe in and trust. It certainly evolved over time, that concept, but, you know, I can't stress enough how much it means that that concept of a higher power has saved my life over and over and over again. And I never want to, A, leave this program, and B, let go of that faith. Because that faith is what has kept me going all these years. So I came into this program. I need to say that I got divorced from that man, and I remarried a year later to someone who was even crazier, and where it was a really self-destructive relationship. My biggest shame in this program is I've been married 4 times. Each relationship has not been a healthy relationship. I've never mastered the finding a real partnership deal like they promise in this program. I kind of feel I've been alone now since, around 2003 or 4. I've been around alone a long time. I'm good at it. And I think I was always good at it. It's the relationship part that I have trouble with. And I have to confess that I'm not good at that. And I'm still working on that. Not in terms of wanting to find a life partner, but just to really realize how I keep people at a distance. I do. This program has helped me a lot with that. So I got married and divorced and remarried, married and divorced and remarried. Last relationship that ended in 2003 was with a woman. So, you know, it's the first time I've talked about all this, really, because it's always been the thing I'm most ashamed of. And for some reason, I want to tell this story. So I don't know, I'm just trusting God about this. But it's not about my relationships. It's about cancer. Mm-hmm. So I retired 6 years ago. And I need to back up and say that as a result of being in this program, I found a career that I did for 30 years that I absolutely loved. I was guided and led to it. I loved it. And 6 years ago, I retired from it. And I could talk about that, but I won't. So 6 years ago, I retire. During that year, so I'm living alone. I'm doing fine. But my sons, who are adults and who are both journalists, have been writing a book together on football players and head trauma and concussion. And they're starting to say to me, Mom, you seem like you're acting differently. We noticed something different. And I was like, I have allergies. No, we really feel like there's something going on. And I just wasn't having any of it. And my doctors were not, like, particularly worried about me or anything. I just So they, because of who they are, would not give up on this and started interviewing my friends and colleagues who confirmed that there was something going on, that I was different in some way. Not physically, but there was some way about my behavior that was different. And then they started consulting with the people that they were doing research with, the neurologists and people who, is it, am I out of time?
Mm-hmm. But you're going to finish up.
Okay. To make a long story short, they made me go to the doctor. I got a MRI, and I had brain cancer. And that brain cancer metastasized to lung cancer. And I had brain surgery, and then I had lung surgery, and then I had a seizure, and then I had heart surgery. Each one of those times, God has been with me. And this program has allowed me to stay abstinent through all of it, to keep coming back. The support in this program has been unbelievable in terms of people here who know me, who went through this with me. This program is a lifesaver. And, you know, I could talk about all the ways in which it has saved my life, but that's certainly one dramatic one, and I don't feel it was any accident that it all happened the way it did. I wish you all, you know, somebody said in one of the last shares a few weeks ago, I wish you all desperation. It sounds terrible, but in a way, that's a reality, because I was desperate, and the desperation is what got me to find God. And I wish that for you all. It has kept me abstinent all these years, and it has given me a life, a real life, and a lot of the promises have come true. So thank you. Keep coming back. This program works.